The Columbia Workshop presents Rebirth in Barrows Inlet by Joseph List. Tonight we tell the story of an American town. Just what is an American town, and what are its roots that people cherish? To learn what they are, Archibald MacLeish set up the Radio Research Division of the Library of Congress with Phil Cohen as its director. Mr. List was sent down to South Carolina to write in radio terms the story of an American town. This, then, is the story of Rebirth in Barrows Inlet. This is the story of people who belong. People who belong to America, whom America belongs to. People in towns, tucked in big cities, living on the same block, living in single small places where most of America lives. Places to turn a plow, to plant a seed. Places where people's only deed is to live and hope for living.
May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord shine his countenance down upon thee and grant thee peace. Amen.
Amen.
That was a nice sermon you preached, Father.
Thanks, Martha.
It's a pity Moore didn't come to hear it.
Too nice a day for church. Besides, I see the folks every day in the week. Guess we both need a rest from each other on Sunday.
That's the Sunday service on the spot on the map where people live. How big is the spot? Depends on how close you are. Take Barrows Inlet in the low country of Carolina. Barrows Inlet is the place the preacher practices 6 days a week and rests on Sunday. Barrows Inlet, like any other hamlet, is no bigger than the people in it. Spread along the salt marshes and inland over sandy, swirling roads, are gray, weathered clapboard cabins, made majestic by avenues of moss-draped live oaks, monuments to remind you of more gracious living for some. 100 years before cotton was king, the Carolina coast was the gold coast of the nation. Rice, the seed that came from Madagascar, bursting the granaries of Charlestown. Rice and barons out of a swamp, bartering the labor of black hands for the bright gold of Europe. Gold that brought gracious living for some in a kingdom by the sea. And just the farmer's mile or more from Barrows Inlet, in the marsh grass of Winya Bay, Lafayette landed in America to conquer or perish. Greene fought there and Marion fought. And Washington stayed at Alston's plantation when he was president. Tradition in Barrows Inlet, plenty. Two wars, both designed for independence. Ask Willie Williams, ex-slave. He'll tell you.
I remember it was Sunday morning when General Johnson threw up his hands and said, done with war. After freedom, my mother, she washed for a family in Beaver Creek. Father, he went to working on shares. Old Mas' Johnny called him and he told him, "You free, Ace, you free, Handy, and you free, Wash. Now you do as you please. You have to fast for yourself now."
Oh, freedom, oh, freedom over me. And before I be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free.
You have to fedge for yourself, says Willie Williams. He's 101 come Christmas. He remembers that it wasn't easy to be free, but it felt good. And that's the way most all of us, white and colored, live today in the inlet. Oh, the rice and the gold, did you say? Rice grows badly in a battlefield. What with the hurricane at harvest thrown in, let it go to weed and Louisiana competition. In place of splendor, well, people not exactly fadging about for themselves, but people together feeling their way along for something new. Now, if you think birth pangs are hard, try rebirth. Try Barrows Inlet. There's a clean smell here. The smell of people and the sea and the sand. The sweetness of bacon frying. Road dust on weeds in the hot sun. The upturned earth. The sweat on the plow handle. The suds on the blue overalls and the iron wash pot Monday morning. Like this Monday morning.
Here you are, Martha. I cut you some kindling for the stove. Enough to boil the wash.
Thanks, sir.
I'm riding up to Conway. You need something?
No, sir.
Except?
Well, except maybe some meal. Run clean out and meal and a sack of grit. You might buy a roe shad if you see George.
That all?
And that's all. Oh, except maybe some coffee. The kind is special, 2 pounds for a quarter.
But you said you didn't need nothing.
But if you're going to Conway, when you reckon you'll be back?
Before dark, I hope. Got to see old Lucius at the tower.
Oh, you'll never get no farther if you see him first. He jabbers like a jaybird.
Guess I better not go so far as Conway. I'll get your things at the store. Give me a chance to see how people I ain't seen for a week is getting on. My age, surely I couldn't have much left in me. I give them little. It's them that is giving all the giving now. Every day I make the visit to the people, I live a new life all over again. A new life every day. It's them that's given to me.
But you're getting weak, Father.
No, Marty. I'm getting strong.
Yes, he's getting strong. For people give strength, as the Reverend himself gives it to the people of Barrows Inlet. He'd perish without the people, and they in turn would be poorer without him. He's their legislature and the Congress, their physician and their psychologist, and, oh yes, yes, he's their preacher too. And yet, unlike a dictator, they're not dependent upon him. He only helps them govern themselves, helps them to help each other through the rebirth. And so, Reverend Robinson makes the rounds of the people of Barrows Inlet. It's not brass ankles nor white trash, but people, citizens of a democracy, sure of death and taxes, plowing, mowing, fishing, loving, bearing kids, and dying, deciding their own destiny as far as their purse permits them. This is Miss Sally's house. Sally was setting the table for lunch when Reverend Robinson came by.
Nice to see you, Mr. Robinson.
It sure is.
You gonna eat with us? Good.
You get all that mud on your shoes in the schoolhouse, Tommy?
Oh, Tommy.
Yes, it must have rained.
In the schoolhouse?
Must have. Know something about that schoolhouse roof? When it leaks outside, it rains inside.
Oh, you can lie to a preacher, Tommy, but you wouldn't lie to a friend, would you?
Didn't you go to school again?
Well,
Were you at Grandpa Lucius again?
He asked me to come. Well, he's all alone, that big house.
Oh, Tom.
He told me, what's the use of school? He never went to school, and look how rich he is and how poor we is.
He's an old man, Tommy. He ain't got nothing left to give to the world except his money.
He wouldn't give that.
Well, you've got to give more, Tommy. If you're young, you need learning to give something.
Yes, sir.
And I go bathe your hands. I'm hungry.
Me too, sir. My belly thinks my throat's cut. Right back.
You see what I mean, Mr. Robinson?
Yeah.
He's always making up stories or staying absent from school, else he's picking up bad notions from Grandpa.
Mm.
He lies awful, Mr. Robinson. But they're nice lies. Dreamy lies.
Now don't you start fussing yourself about Tommy. He's just growing up.
Let's have dinner.
I'm taking you with me to Conway tomorrow, Sally. The high school basketball team's been asking for you.
Oh, boy.
That's mighty nice.
Now, will you say grace, Tommy?
Well, sir, I
go ahead, Tommy, before he don't ask you again.
Golly, me saying grace and a preacher right at the table, I don't reckon I know how.
Try, Tommy.
Well, we thank you, Lord, for this, our daily bread. It's a very nice day today. Thanks for that, too. The biscuits smell good. Reckon they taste good, too. Nothing special today, but if anything comes up, I'll let you know at supper time.
The parson is on his way again with his weekday religion. He never drives over 30. Places between people are close in Barrows Inlet, and if you go by too fast, the people all seem the same, and they're not. Take Tommy's grandpa, Lucius. Lucius is just an even 40. He's bought up an old antebellum house, portico, moss-shadowed gardens, ghosts of crinoline-gowned young ladies, dusty murmurings in the evenings. Yes, missy, honey child, masses in the cold, cold ground. Well, Lucius is trying to beat the up-east millionaires at their own game, and Lucius remembers. What else has he got to do?
I was born the day the war between the states broke out, and I'll never forget it.
I was driving by, Lucius. Thought I'd stop in to speak to you about something.
Oh, glad you come, Reverend. Come on in the sitting room. Yeah, come on, get out here. Doggone chickens in the house. Come on. Tommy's got a fire going in there and got two chairs before the fire.
Ain't you fixed that door yet, Lucius?
Oh, that can't be fixed. Earthquake 1903 did that. Closing that door? And nobody can ever open it. Come on around the other way. Yeah, glad you come, Parson.
Hey, I got a letter I just writ to a widow lady up in Boston, telling her to come on down. Telling her if she don't come down, I'm going to marry me another widow who comes by the house every morning. Because there ain't no another widow. I'm just giving her a scare to get her a move on. Sit down, Parson, sit down. Yeah, say, I'll read your poem I wrote her. Gonna send it as soon as I get me a stamp.
You got plenty of money to buy a bushel of stamps. That's what I come to see you about, Lucius.
Oh, now, just let me read the poem. Every night I dream of you, see your face in the sky so blue. Here beneath the magnolia and the moss, you be the mistress and I'll be the boss.
Lucius, you happy in this here empty house?
Happy? Happy? Say, what are you talking about, preacher?
Now, if you're going to holler, I'm going to leave right now. You know what I'm talking about. Never told any man what to do in my life. I let him figure it out himself. But you stop figuring, Lucius. Think you living in this big house.
Oh,
little
well.
Or no furniture in it. Chickens all over that beautiful old stairway. Be nicer for you if chillin's be on that stairway. House would be lived in.
Yeah, I'll spend my money any way I please.
You ain't spending it. You're throwing it away. Living alone like a cross old bear, eating out of cans, finding eggs in the corners of the sitting room. Your grandchildren living like they was on relief. Your daughter working when she could be looking after the young'uns.
Well, let them make their own money. And those kids ain't going to move in here and spend up this little lovely house. What we coming to when we always depend on others? First, this relief. Then the government stepping into a man's field and telling him what to plant. And unions. That's the trouble with this country, unions. I tell you, Jim, it ain't like it used to be.
No, it ain't. Guess I'll be going.
Oh, now, don't worry none about me, preacher. I'll get into heaven all right. I got four keys. I don't drink. I don't cuss. Never committed an immoral act in my life, and I'm a good Democrat. See, I ain't voted in the last 10 years.
I think you need more than that.
And Lucius lives alone, scratching about the big house as his chickens do, revealing scraps of the past. Now, but let him lie. He's too old for rebirth. Now, up yonder, away from the smell of the sea, live a new people. They've only come to the land 150 years ago. And some folks ain't used to them yet, but you'll see them around most of the important spots of Barrows Inlet, or for that matter, any place in the South. In a furrow behind a plow and a mule.
Get on that, Junior. Head for that great big grandfather pine tree. Get on, you're dreaming. You ain't working. Act like you got rheumatism. Get on, Junior. He's going to make a burning place for tobacco, corn, and taters. Get on, you crony born black mule.
You'll find them huddled close like marsh grass along the beach, digging clams and oysters, seining shrimp, catching crabs for the market.
I got a sea crab, Zeke.
I got me a good mess of sea crabs. Ought to bring 40 cents for this year, bushel. I reckon I'll dig me some oysters, too. Maybe find me a pearl, maybe. The only way I know how to get rich enough for a 23 Chevrolet. Well, that is after I pay for the new baby we're expecting, me and the missus.
And you'll find the women plowing. Plowing an old-fashioned 10-pound iron through a field of blue jeans and white cotton shirts.
Go sleep.
Didn't take that young one long to fall asleep.
How long, Selma?
Oh, about so long it take down two of the Reverend's shirts and sing the song twice.
Hmm. That sound like the Reverend's car, Selma. Got his washing ready.
Got it.
I does hope that old car ain't gonna broke down here before us do this morning.
Well, we'll give you a notion twill.
Ain't no, mine's always due. I hate to have somebody's car broke down to the very door. Hello there, Reverend.
Hello, Abraham. Hello, Selma.
Evening.
You working, Abraham?
Not for money, sir. Money thinks I'm dead.
Fishing?
Fishing for bass and trout all night. Oystering and clamming on low tide. Mm. Scratching clam on the half tide. When it's too high to find oyster, I haul an oyster.
That's the truth, Rem. Ain't had money worth for a long time.
No, sir. Not since the relief go away and I worked in the WPA, clearing the parsonage ground. I sure remember that, Reverend. Had to work hard. I wasn't strong enough to work like that, kind of not even good all winter. Remember your wife, God rest her soul.
Amen.
Bring us coffee and biscuit to the forest. Give us strength to hold our job. Bless her, Reverend. Yeah, sure do need job now. You see, sir?
Speak up, Abraham.
Hmm?
Take your pipe out your mouth when you're talking to the Reverend. Handle your mouth more better.
I know, Abraham. I know you need a money job.
Yeah, the 8 miles to feed, so now. Selma, she toting the family now, too. Ain't much feed in the spring. Ain't much for the cattle nor the chillin'.
Mm-hmm.
The ground hungry, too. Hungry for seed. Need cash money for seed.
And that orphan child come by here last winter.
He's still with you all summer?
Oh, yes. Got to eat just like the rest. Can't go to school. No clothes. Well, here your laundry, Reverend. Sorry we take your time. Oh, just trouble. We know you got your own.
Abraham, I think I could help you a little.
Well, thank you, Reverend, but I find me something.
You come to the parsonage tomorrow, 8:00. You can help me clear the grounds again.
Oh, thank you, Reverend. We wouldn't ask no odds. When we got plenty of peas and corn, I say we'd be holding to nobody. I say, sister may have, brother may have, but blessed the man that has his own. Sister say, dip him. Brother say, dip him. But you got your own. You dip him twice a day if you want.
Got your own. Dip him twice a day if you want. John Doe's and Sam Small's primer for democracy, their Declaration of Independence. Selma and Abraham and Zeke never knew days of splendor, so they don't look back. For them, in Barrows Inlet, rebirth comes a little easier. They always got their eye on tomorrow. Today is a good day to work together. There's only money enough for one mule. They all chipped in for it. They're people who speak in song, people who yearn and work and pray in song. It says much more than a mumbling word. They cry it out.
I've started to
make heaven my home. Sometimes I am tossed and driven, Lord. Sometimes I don't know where to roam.
Theirs is the blues, defined as the poor man's heart disease. Theirs is the spiritual they're singing now in Heaven's Gate Church, set in a clearing in the woods, surrounded by the sky and the scrub oak on Sandy King Road. The Reverend of Heaven's Gate preaches to his people the story of their church.
Killing in the beginning of freedom, they separate us from the white folks. In 61, the war begun, and in 64, the war was over. But Reverend Zacharias Duncan, he was the man. He was the one who built the Heaven Gate Church. He raised us and he taught us in the church. He used to have to steal off in slavery time just to have class. The driver would come in and whoop, but the church go on just the same.
And farther in the woods, the voices of children, a new whitewashed brick building, the new school, the pride of the people up King's Road, the new school to replace the old gray weathered clapboard with rafters washed clean by the rain, the new school and the new voices, the history lesson.
Now today we will have a Lincoln program. No, I'm not going to read a paper or read a speech. We're going to have a contest for all the fourth grade children. Samuel, could you tell me who Abraham Lincoln was?
Huh? Well, that was,
Now, quiet, please. No prompting. Now, try, Samuel.
No, ma'am. I heard of Abraham, but I never heard of the name of that fella you say.
Sarah, do you know?
Once read a paper about him.
Well, tell us.
Abraham Lincoln? He built a log cabin in the woods.
That's good. Now put your hands down, children. I'll call on you all. Sarah, could you add to that?
Yes'm. Lincoln had a log cabin school, but two books he studied.
Yes?
There was a speller book and a Bible.
That's good. Ezekiel, who do you think Abraham Lincoln was?
Well, he'd fight and cry, and at last he was the captain of the new United States.
Anything else?
Yes, ma'am. He feed the colored people.
The day is winding up now in Barrows Inlet. The sun is coming in slanty and setting itself back in the woods, tuckered out. Too weak to burn the mist rising up from the swamps. The school has been swept clean and the blackboard washed. That was Tommy's contribution. Abraham plowed 2 acres today, one for himself and one for his neighbor, in turn for the use of the mule. Zeke's on his way to Georgetown with 3 bushel of oysters tied on the bumper of his Model T. And he's passing the Reverend now on the way to the store.
Oh, Zeke, have a good day.
Yeah, just tolerable fare.
It is a new baby coming to your house tonight.
Yes, sir.
Who's midwife?
Aunt Bill. I think everything will turn out fine, though. Don't you, Reverend?
You don't sound so sure, Zeke. Anything wrong?
No, sir. Only I can't be there helping. I got to get the oyster market for cash.
You reckon you be no help anyway, Zeke?
No man is, sir. But Aunt Bill is awful old for a midwife.
I'll get Martha to help, Zeke. Don't you worry. You get on the market before it closes. You'll be needing that cash.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Need gas?
Oh, no, you haven't. I've got gas. I just need new stock.
Okay, I'll give you a push.
Thank you, Reverend. And I'll do the same for you sometime.
And I'll do the same for you sometime becomes law in Barrows Inlet. The law of necessity and preservation. The food for the plant to be reborn after a long winter. The parson, like most of the people of the inlet, makes his last daylight stop. to stop at the store in the neck of the woods. There's nothing different about this store, and yet it's the most vital spot in the inlet. The place to stop to get the news of the day at the end of the day. The forum of public opinion holds session here. The country cousin of the corner drugstore of the town. The smaller addition of the courthouse square where people congregate to talk about the tangible facts. The weather, the crops, the price of shad, the soil, the baptizing, the poll tax.
Yeah, I think don't make no difference. We give the women voting power. Do we see them voting? No.
Well, why is that? I'll tell you. They're too busy to vote. Ain't that the truth, Reverend?
Well, we're all busy. That don't keep us away from the polls. But if a man ain't got a dollar at the proper time, and that keeps him away from the poll, well, you can see where...
No, the poll tax won't be decided today, nor will the weather be decided. But decisions are not made at the store. Opinions are aired. Voices of the people are heard. Decisions will come later. They're just feeding their way along together for something new, maybe better. Birth pangs are hard, yes, but rebirth is still harder. Dark that's twilight has left. It's night now. The last pipeful is down to the ash. There's no field now, no moss nor sea. No, not even pines. Just quiet mist out of the old rice marsh and sky. The inlet sleeps, all but one who's just awakened. The new baby at Zeke's house.
The Columbia Workshop has presented Rebirth in Barrows Inlet by Joseph Liss. The original music was composed and conducted by Charles Paul. Frank Gallup was the narrator. In the cast were Will Gear, Helen Clare, Ann Elsner, Amanda Randolph, Juan Hernandez, Gwen Davies, Arthur Anderson, Dolores Gillen, G. Swain Gordon, Artel Dixon, and the Delta Rhythm Boys. The director was Earl McGill. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.